This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 16th of May, 1957. The title of this lecture is Procedure CCH, CCH Steps. This lecture is 58 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Arrow Productions.
I'm now going to give you the five levels of indoc. Very rapidly. We already have the dummy sessions, and I have given 15-minute lectures on those, which is, we consider the first level. These are the five dummy auditing processes. The second one up the line is 8C. Second level of indoctrination is plain 8C. It is given without stresses or control or anything of the sort. Just you don't touch the guy, you don't handle him. It's just plain 8C. And it's an old, old, old process done this way. The auditing commands of 8C in this particular instance have suffered a change recently because no auditing command must depend upon any other auditing command or it won't be in present time. So each auditing command depends upon itself. So the commands of 8C are, look at that wall. You say thank you. Walk over to that wall. He does. You say thank you. With your right hand, touch that wall. Thank you. Turn around. There is no let go there. Or other direction. If we have not directed him to do something, and he does it, if he does something a little differently than we expected him to do it, we really have no basis of objection. And the training stress on this is only this. Is to get somebody to walk another body than his own around a room. It's just easy, you know. There's nothing to this. This is not high school indoc. This is just... At that level, he must be able to duplicate the commands, get them always correctly. There are no flubs allowable. It's just zero flubs. You don't make a mistake. And it is run to a point where a person does not make a mistake on the commands and does not feel nervous about walking somebody around. That's the training stresses. That's all the training stresses there are on it. Now we move up to the next level of indoctrination, which might look like 8C at the first glance, but it is not. And that is high school indoc. The commands of high school indoc are the same as those for plain 8C. But this is entirely and completely a training process. And it is only run for this reason. To keep an auditor from being stopped by a preclear, by devious and diverse statements and actions. And the preclear, quote unquote, because we can't really call him a preclear at all in this, because he's actually the coach, runs on this, quote, auditor, unquote, anything he can think of to stop him. And the auditor at no time must permit himself to even be halted or faltered in any way. He must be able to continue a clear, free-flowing 8C on this person who is getting down on the floor and barking like a dog and so on. He mustn't be permitted to get down on the floor. You let a man get below the level of your shoulders, and he's going to get down on the floor, that's for sure. You've got to catch him before that. He's going to try not to walk across the room. He's going to try to run across the room. He's going to try to do anything. You told him to walk, by the way. Walking fast, by the way, is allowable, but running definitely would not be allowable. And the training stress is entirely upon getting an auditor to persevere against any trick mechanism anybody could think of or react to, or any circuitry or dramatization in HC. That's total auditor persistence. Now, we don't care whether he picks a person up around the body or lugs him over his shoulder or drags him by his heels to get him across the room to the wall. We don't care what he has to do to get him to go through this. We aren't asking him to do it smoothly. We're just asking him to do it constantly and consistently. And that's high school induc. And that was one of the great steps of Scientology, by the way, the learning, that learning process. Why, if we'd had that a few years ago, it would have made a world of difference in several cases I can think of. A fellow would sit down in the middle of the floor and we didn't do anything. We depended totally upon our voices. We depended totally upon our voices. And these people weren't in communication. All right. Now, that is high school induc. The coach, in this case, has a role to play. He is the preclear. He has two signals, one flunked and the other that's it, which are effective. Anything else he says does not count. Now, of course, he says start, and they go on with it. But when the coach considers, who is the final judge, that the auditor has blundered, has been stopped, has waited too long, then the coach says flunked. Now, what happens when the coach says flunked? They go back to the beginning of the nearest cycle of action of the HC. You understand? They go back to the beginning of that cycle. They do not take it from there. They go back to the beginning. They leave that cycle incomplete. In other words, the flunk, the error came on touch that wall. They go back to the other side of the room on a flunk and start that cycle all over again. Do you understand that? And the auditor in this case is not permitted to override a flunk. It's the one thing he can't override is flunk. Now, when the coach says, that's it, he means we are through. We're going to take a breather. What I say now counts. And that breaks it off. That ends it. And it doesn't begin again until the coach says start. All right. Now, that is 8C done on a very heavy body contact, lug them around, the coach thinking of anything he can think of to stop this fellow, and it's interesting what will stop some auditors. One girl, I recall that I was running this on, she's an old-time Scientologist, and you wouldn't ever have thought that she could have been made to falter, but I said very softly to her, you know, your slip is showing, and she stopped at once and looked. If you understand your business as a coach, you will understand that it's the soft ones and the unexpected ones that count. It isn't the heavy ones. It isn't you're just lying down on the floor and just refusing to budge and then exerting every muscle and making him drag you from there on. That's perfectly allowable. But that isn't the one that catches the auditor. The one that catches him is you walk like the best little preclear you ever thought of. You know, just beautifully. You walk through it just gorgeously, smoothly. There's nothing to it. I mean, you know, just doing it. He says, you know, he says, I'm getting nervous. He says, you're going to pull something. I know it. I was just doing perfect 8C, you know. And even though he said that, I got halfway through about the fifth cycle and in the middle of the room said, I won't. And rushed out into the other room. He couldn't hold me. He managed to get out in the other room, grab hold of me, and he brought me back in and triumphantly lugged me up to the wall. And he was so confused that he lugged me up to the wrong wall. Now, there's high school There's high school Indoc. It's a marvelous training process. The number of hours which one should spend on this should be several. And he shouldn't run it just with one coach. He should run it with two or three others, too. Because everybody develops his own abreactive pattern. It's a wonderful opportunity to abreact your insanities. But an auditor will very swiftly learn how to stop one preclear. You see, just how to keep him from doing that, how to overcome his stops. But take two or three more, swapping teams around, he eventually gets a smooth look at the whole thing. There isn't such a thing as being too tiny to handle too big a preclear. That isn't true. Good example of that is Marcia. She can handle any of them. He was even running me successfully one night on this. Marvelous to behold. All right, now let's take the next level of indoctrination, and that is tone 40 on an object. Now, actually, all of these are groups. A number of techniques of indoctrination could be evolved from each one of these. I'm simply giving you those that have to be passed. And you could have, in this tone 40 on an object, a number of commands and variations of one kind or another. But the one which is it is this. You take an object, a small doll, an ashtray, Coke bottle, and the auditor tells it to sit down in that chair or sit on the table and thanks it, and tells it to stand up and thanks it. And those are the auditing commands. Sit down in the chair or sit on the table. Then the auditor moves it with his own hand. The auditor does all this, you see. The coach is just standing there heckling him. And he has to do it so that his intention is so good that he gets perpetually surprised that the thing just, this object, didn't sit down in the chair or sit on the table, didn't stand up, you know? I mean, odd. Of course, the furthest extremity of this would be that the object would, without any further contact with the auditor than his intention. That point may be reachable. I must tell you that. Now, a person does this until his tone in giving the commands is tone 40. What's tone 40? You let the auditor define that. There are many little drills that come inside of this. One is to make him put the intention into it and squeak at the same time. Not say the words, but put the intention of the words into it and then utter a squeak. To make the commands in strange voices. To alter his voice all over the place until he eventually finds out that his intention doesn't have anything to do with his voice tone. He eventually will discover what tone 40 is. Tone 40, of course, is a positive postulate with no counterthought. No counterthought expected, anticipated, or anything else, and that is total control. Actually, today we use the word control. We misuse the word control. What we really mean is positive postulation. What the world means by control is if he doesn't do it, shoot him. Not tone 40, but tone point 4. Now, in order to get tone 40 on a person going, you can continue tone 40 on an object. But whether this belongs to tone 40 on a person or belongs to the last end of tone 40 on an object doesn't much matter. It's not a separate level, but it's a separate command. You give the 8C commands to an object and lug it around for a little while. You see, you give the 8C commands and have the object move over and touch the wall and so forth. But that is only getting a person used to those commands in that tone. That would be the only reason that's for. We don't use the 8C commands to get his drill in, because he's going to get heckled. Now, what does the coach do on tone 40 on an object? Well, at first, he's helpful. He really is helpful. Tries to get him to put the intention in there, gets him to put the intention in without speaking. Intention into the object without speaking. Set it down, get the intention into the object to receive his thanks. You know, no words. He just has the preclear putting the thought in the object. It's an old Scientology process, by the way, putting the thought in the object. He can run this on him for a while. He can actually be helpful. But when the fellow's getting too good, the coach must remember that this tone 40 on a person is going to be up against somebody with counter-thought, counter-effort, counter-action of one kind or another, and the coach furnishes it. He doesn't furnish it loudly or obstreperously, but he does furnish it. Now, is that tone 40? Are you absolutely sure that that was tone 40? Maybe the auditor said, what is this? What do you mean by tone 40? Well, something for you to find out. But I don't think it was. Did you? Did you really think that was? And then you're doing all right. You're getting it accidentally from time to time. You know, about that time, you wouldn't consider the coach being very helpful. But the coach is supposed to furnish randomity, which would substitute for the randomity of the environment. So the person can do this in spite of the fact that something or somebody is resisting him, heckling him, messing him up, and so on. You could go much further with this. As I say, you could go much further with each one of these five levels of indoctrination. Go much further with this. You could get it up to a point of actually wrestling with the man while he had to run it on an object, you know. You have somebody standing behind him and hitting him suddenly, and you could do all sorts of things. I don't advise them. But I must tell you that other things exist that can be done in that tone 40 on an object. Now, on tone 40 on a person, we do 8C at tone 40. And that is a total accurate estimation of effort with no halts or jagged motions. That is smooth. Your estimation of effort must be absolutely perfect. Your estimation of the intention must be so perfect. This is, by the way, sometimes rather hard on a coach, because somebody can get so good that the coach's body starts to walk around and obey the commands rather easily. And you'll find almost all coaches on tone 40 on a person are much more docile than in high school indoc. They really want to be rougher, but the technique is rather overweighing this. The technique is too strong. You notice most people who are coaching, acting as the preclear, which is to say, same rules obtain as in high school indoc, work rather more docilely than in, that's just as a general rule. That doesn't apply to your own director of training, by the way. This man can make himself into more solid rock than you ever saw in your life. Make him do tone 40 on a person. I mean, well, you can put him through those humps. You'd really be doing something. All right, now those are the five levels of indoctrination, and they are only doing this. You're placing an auditor into a frame of mind and an ability where his postulates can be positive, where his command is no longer diffident, where he can control and handle somebody, where he can assume the attitude necessary to an auditor. And that's what they're for. And a person is all through with these when the instructor is sure that the auditor under training can do this. All right. We go then at once into CCH. Now, CCH could not even vaguely be attempted without these five levels of indoc having been run. Nevertheless, early in an HPA or an HCA course, you will discover that an individual hasn't yet had tone 40 anything. So although CCH starts with tone 40, the training continuity of CCH does not. Do you see this? Training starts with dummy auditing in the communication course, and then goes to the second level of indoctrination, which is simple HC. And they coincide at that point. Now, the order of learning these processes is therefore different than the order they are given to a preclear. You don't have to remember the order of learning them. You do have to remember the order of giving them to a preclear. But I'm going to give them to you in the order of training. We have simple HC, which I've already given you as the second level. The commands of simple HC are very simple, and they do not depend on any other command. Simple HC, the commands are, look at that wall, thank you. Walk over to that wall, thank you. With your right hand, touch that wall, thank you. Turn around. That's the total commands of it. I've already given you the training stress on this. The second process with which we are dealing is in training is locational processing. And that is, you can see at once, is a command of attention process. And the commands are, notice that blank, thank you. Notice that wall, notice that chair, notice the floor, notice the ceiling, and so on. And each time the preclear has looked in that direction, why, we say yes. And that is very simple locational processing. And, by the way, an interestingly therapeutic process. The training stress is simply this. The direction of attention must not be disturbed by other mechanisms of attention direction, don't you see? The auditor must give this smoothly, in other words. There's no reason why he waves a red flag and sneezes and coughs and shifts his feet and so forth. These are all attention getters. We're trying to get the auditor to get the preclear's attention to go smoothly to the object indicated. We're trying to get a smooth job of conducting here. You have actually a person handling another person's attention, which is quite unusual, and it must be done very smoothly. We don't care how well the commands are getting across. Beyond, they should get across as well, of course, as a person learned to get across a command in dummy auditing. The auditor picks out the objects and says, notice that blank. Notice that chair. Notice the ceiling. The auditor normally points. The preclear merely turns his head. There are no cautions to be used with this, except that if a person got very restimulated, flatten it. Now, the third is called locational body and room. And here we have the first example of extroversion-introversion. The commands are, look at that wall, you know, look at that blank, look at your foot, look at the ceiling, look at your hand. Do you see this? Now, there is an alternate set of commands on this. Notice the chair, notice your hand, notice the wall, notice the floor. You understand this? They actually have a difference. A person who is pretty dead in his head had better be told to notice, because the strain and stress which will come on him through trying to get out of his body and look at his head is so great that he'll start pulling ridges to pieces. So of the two, the safest is notice. The other's quite allowable. The other will exteriorize somebody. They are two different sets of commands. They have two different objectives. Look at that wall. Look at your hand. Look at the ceiling. Look at your right foot. He's liable to find somebody out there 5 feet back of his head. Just swish. You understand that? But if a person would not normally exteriorize, Feast, by his build, bank behavior, and so forth, you don't think he would, you would use notice. So therefore, in training, we use notice. But we must remember that the process works fabulously well with look. All right. That's an extroversion-introversion process. We have the sequence of it is look in on yourself, look at yourself, look at the environment, look at yourself, look at the environment, look at yourself, look at the environment, just alternately. It's what's known as an alternate command, by the way. You should know what an alternate command is. An alternate set of commands go, look at your right hand, look at your left hand, look at your right hand, look at your left hand. But you could say there is a process known as look at your right hand. And when that's flat, you run, look at your left hand. Do you see the idea? Then it'd be, look at your right hand, 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 look at your right hand. See? That is not an alternate. When that's flat, on look at your right hand, then we go to the left hand. It's necessary to call your attention to that bit of terminology because in give me your hand, tone 40, we run it on the right hand and then run it on the left hand, and it's not an alternate. You don't say, give me your right hand, give me your left hand, give me your right hand, give me your left hand. We do not do that. It's, give me your hand, you say, and then take up the fellow's right hand, and he understands that's the hand you mean. All right. The next one of these is objective show me. Now, here the pre-clear does a little demonstrating. Now, the reason this is put in here is because it's one of the more miraculous therapeutic processes. It is the reason why a person's bank is invisible to other people. It is the reason why people have secrets. It is the reason why people pull banks in on themselves, is they don't dare show them to anybody else. So, we say to the person, we run something on objective, show me. The commands are, show me that blank. Thank you. The auditor points to the object he wishes to be shown. Now, only when that is running rather well would you run it on an extrovert-introvert, and the next series of commands on it could be, show me that blank, show me your blank. We fill those in this way. Show me that table. Show me your foot. Show me that ceiling. Show me your head. You got this? Extroversion, introversion. This, by the way, opens the door to mock-ups and facsimiles anybody could see. If there is some method of achieving that, this is it. A person becomes at length overcomes his unwillingness to show you things. And he realizes that he is not still wanted on Arcturus and that you are not the space police of Saturn. He has been made unwilling by life to show anybody anything. Now, in running that under training, I'd omit it. In training, I wouldn't train a person how to do this early in his training. I would just teach him locational and let it go at that. And then let him find this one up the track somewhere. You see? And that's why I have not given it a number in training series. But you must know that it exists because it's a very important process. It has to be very delicately handled, is why I say I wouldn't have trained it at this level of training. A person is pretty... they can get very badly restimulated. Trivic somatics turn on. All sorts of wild things happen. All right. Instead of that, we use a mild one called attention by duplication. It's number 4 here. Attention by duplication. This is a very old process. The way it was originally run, it was much more complex than now. We call it just plain attention by duplication. It runs in another fashion than this. Attention by duplication is simply Look at that book, look at that bottle, look at that book, look at that bottle. See, that'd be all that was. Look at that book, look at that bottle. But we don't use that. We actually use opening procedure by duplication 1957, which has its own set of commands. We place a book in one location and a bottle in another location, and we say, look at that book. Good. Walk over to that book. Good. Pick up that book. Good. Put the book down in exactly the same place. Good. Now, look at that bottle. Good. Walk over to that bottle. Good. Pick up that bottle. Good. Put that bottle down in exactly the same place. There you go. Now, you could add a turnaround in there, but you have then graduated this to Tone 40, Book and Bottle. Tone 40, Book and Bottle, is not opening procedure by duplication. You have to be willing to assume total control of the preclear to run Tone 40, Book and Bottle. The commands are the same, except you never acknowledge. You never say another thing to the preclear than these auditing commands, and these auditing commands land. And then we would add, I said they were the same, we would have to add, turn around. Because he's really not supposed to do anything we're not telling him to do. All right. We have, then, a gradient here. And in training, we use opening procedure by duplication. And later on, we'll have to show somebody what we mean by Tone 40, Book and Bottle. Do you have that? Now, the caution, the training stress on this is precision. The auditor must not make any mistakes, omissions on this command. That's that. I mean, he's out. He's dead. That's just horrible. That's pretty bad. One of the reasons he mustn't is because it's one of the most arduous processes to run known to man. This is a rough one. And if an auditor adds into it the randomity of getting his commands mixed up, he can practically finish a preclear. This is a rough one. It is one of the number one exteriorization processes. Oh, you didn't know that. Well, if opening procedure by duplication 1957 will exteriorize somebody, and it will, then believe me, Tone 40 Book and Bottle is liable to send him on his way. You have no latitude for mistakes there at all. The training stress is the exact duplication of those commands. One of the cautions that must be observed in running this is that it is not left unflattened and mustn't be halted if it begins to run. I mean, the process is biting. It must not be knocked off simply because there's a class schedule involved. Do you understand that? If you were unfortunate enough to begin opening procedure by duplication at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it was running on the preclear, you've no choice. If it is still running and producing change at 2 o'clock in the morning, auditors, coder, know you're going to still be there running it. And I just couldn't possibly tell you that emphatically enough. Now, we remember all this from way back when. Those of us that are a long time in Scientology. And it's the most fatal thing that can happen, to be interrupted, so on, because it may never bite again. And if it isn't flattened, it's liable to leave somebody hung right there. Of course, somebody could come along and run it some more. But it's a major auditing error to start opening procedure by duplication 1957 and not flatten it. So when you start that one, don't have any other dates. It won't kill anybody to leave it unflat. Most of these processes under training sooner or later will be left on flat on somebody. But that one must never be. That must not be. All right. Now let's look at the next one in training order, which is quite late in CCH, which is subjective havingness. One of the ways to run this is ask the preclear what he can mock up. He says, I can mock up cows. You say, fine, mock up a cow. Good. Shove it in to your body. Mock up a cow, throw it away. That's the most elementary method of running this. But I am not going to cover this subject for you, because we would be here for the next 4 or 5 days. This is something that would have to be left up to an instructor. The only thing I'm going to tell you is that a remedy of havingness, and havingness in general, are the most therapeutic levels of processing when they work. You run CCH so the fellow can have. And here you're directly doing it. Quite important. The one thing I will tell you is that you can always get a black case to mock things up, and you can always get somebody to throw something away. This is not even a problem today. The way you crack up a black case is have you mock up something in the blackness and push it in until, just that, repair of havingness, until the blackness cracks up. He'll go an a 10. Because he goes unconscious, there's no reason to stop auditing him. He usually will go unconscious. There's a way to crack up the invisible case that cannot see mock-ups, and I should comment on that. The most spectacular crack-up of an invisible case was occasioned by putting a number of glass objects on a table. You know, the person has no field. They do not see anything when they close their eyes. Everything is invisible. They have no facsimiles, no mock-ups. A number of glass objects were put on a table, and one after the other, just repetitively, round and round, the preclear was asked to keep each one from going away. And she succeeded in doing this. A few rounds, she no longer had an invisible field. And she had had that invisible field, impervious to all other attacks by auditors, for about 5 years or longer. I must then mention those two things. All right. Let's go on to the next one. The name of its book, Mimicry. Its commands are totally motion. Now, all the processes up to this moment, and we have mentioned book and bottle tone 40, but it is not taught or run at this level of training. All these commands are simple, communicative, acknowledge the preclear commands. We can talk to the preclear. And this is also true of book mimicry and hand space mimicry. Now, you'll get it mixed up because your first process in CCH is tone 40, give me your hand. And it is followed by tone 48C, and then followed by book mimicry, and then followed by hand space mimicry. And you're liable to believe that book mimicry and hand space mimicry are then tone 40. No, they're not. They're just common, ordinary, run-of-the-mill routine, be a good fellow, keep up the ARC, remember your dummy auditing sort of process. You understand that? You can talk with the preclear. It's evidently necessary that you do. Now, book mimicry is run this way. You sit facing the preclear, the two of you in chairs, rather close together. I should make a back comment there on opening procedure by duplication. The objects are never more than 5 feet apart. You're sitting there with your knees a few inches from his knees. Just 2 or 3 inches apart, the knees are. Close up. You take in your hands a book, not another object. You take a book. and you make a motion with this book. Preferably not the most complicated motion in the world, and preferably not the simplest motion in the world. And remember that you, the auditor, have to be able to remember any motion that you make with that book so that you can do it again. So it's sometimes necessary for an instructor to make somebody take the book and wave it around in certain patterns and make him wave it around again a few times before he lets him run this on anybody. Just check him out. Can he wave the book the same way twice? Because if he can't run this process. Now, you make a motion with the book, then give the book to the preclear, and he, with a mirror image, takes, in a mirror image sense, takes the book and makes, as nearly as he can, the same motion with it. If you're not satisfied with it, you take the book back and make the same motion that you made before with the book, newly and in present time, and give him the book once more, and he makes the same motion back. You understand that? You do the motion until you, now get this, this is an underscore, and he, but particularly he, is satisfied that a duplication has occurred. Therefore, the auditing commands of this aren't commands, but they're patter. There is comment, there is talk. And one of the lines that undoubtedly should be part of your patter, although it shouldn't be that pat as an auditing event, well, did you do it?
Oh, well, yes, I think so.
Are you sure? You say you're satisfied?
Well, no.
All right, well, you say, I'll do it again. Well, that's all right, I did it that time. It's the preclear who has to be satisfied that a duplication took place, not the auditor. That's completely different than dummy auditing, isn't it? Preclear has to be satisfied that he did the duplication, not the auditor. Remember, we're not dummy auditing now. We're auditing for keeps. I hadn't realized until very recently that that was a necessary part of the command. Very recently, just a very short time ago. Auditor had a little bit of trouble with it, and I took a look at myself auditing it and suddenly realized that I always did this. And I've never had any unsuccessfulness with it. Quite interesting. But that is the way it should be run. Did you do it? Not repetitively every time, you know. You look at him, he looks sort of doubtful. You say, what's the matter? Well, did you do it? Well, I'll do it again then, you say. There's talk. But this, for sure, you can talk all you want to. You can acknowledge what he says, and so on. But don't you dare let that looseness of conversation interfere with the tremendous precision of the motions of the process itself. In other words, the motions are the commands, and these must not be interfered with by the speech, but the speech can take place, and certainly better had. Now we get to number 7, hand space mimicry. Again, it is the motion that is the command. The training stress on hand space mimicry is to do good, useful hand space mimicry. What exactly is hand space mimicry? Well, we put our palms preclear seated in the same position as in the last one. We put our palms up against, one palm or two, it doesn't matter, up against, usually run with two, by the way, up against the preclear's hands, and we say, I'm going to make a motion with my hands, and I want you to contribute to that motion. And we make some simple little motion, and he contributes to the motion. We do this for a while until that's more or less flat, or we can leave it for the moment. You see, just for a little while, a few. And then we bring them a quarter of an inch apart. The hands are a quarter of an inch apart, and we do the same thing. We say the same thing. I'm going to make a motion. I want you to contribute to the motion. You may lead him out to 4 or 5 feet away by these tiny little gradients, another inch at a time, without his ever becoming aware of the fact that you have left him. And he is definitely aware of his auditor. This is modern. Look at me. Who am I? It finds the auditor. The scale of reality is employed here, and this is why it is done. Scale of reality, at the bottom, there is nothing. Above that, there is a communication line. The line becomes more solid. Then, above that, the terminals begin to materialize slightly, and the line becomes less solid. And then above that, you have the terminals. You don't have any line. And above that, the terminals actually are there mostly by agreement. And then above that, there is agreement. And above agreement, there is consideration, individual consideration. And above that, there's postulate. And that is the scale of reality. And we'll see this scale of reality take place, because what are these hands against these hands but communication lines to the prequel? So we play it in this fashion. We begin to break it down, and we become less a line and more a terminal. Do you understand that? All right, number 7, trio. A famous old process included here because it's too good to miss. The commands of trio were originally, look around the room and find something you could have. Okay, look around the room and find something you could have. Very non-control sort of a process, isn't it? But that's the trio. All right, it has an opposite. Look around the room and find something that your body cannot have. It is have for the preclear, have not for any other object, person, being, valence, or anything else than the preclear. You can do numbers of things with the trio. You have to know the trio because it is a fast patch-up for almost any process there is except op pro by dupe. It patches up anything except op pro by dupe. One thing it patches up op pro by dupe is op pro by dupe. Tone 40, op pro by dupe, will run out opening procedure by duplication 1957. And any tone 40 process will run itself out. There's no dead-end street there. Trio will run almost anything out in the entire bank if it is biting at all. If a person can have anything, or if he can get the idea of can't have, something can't have, and it'll run anything out. There is. But it's slow. There's a lot of faults in it. But it is a reliable tool, and an auditor must always have it. He must know how to do it. All right. 9. Tone 40, give me your hand. With all of the injunctions which lie on tone 40, the commands are, give me your hand. Thank you. Now, the training stress on this is to get the individual to give the command in its own unit of time, newly, freshly, every time, to give the acknowledgement at its own unit of time, newly and freshly, and to give it at the proper moment. We don't reach for the fellow's hand and then say, give me your hand. We don't not reach for it yet and say, thank you. You know, I mean, it's got to be precise. We reach after we have said. Now, if the person voluntarily gives you his hand, you simply take it and say thank you. You don't have to shake it. No invalidation and so on. But if he gives you his hand, you take it. But you wait for a moment. You give him a moment to give you his hand. Just a moment. And if he does not respond, then you pick up with your left hand his forearm and move his hand forward into your hand and say, thank you. And that is the way that is run. No acknowledgement is made to anything the preclear says or does. That's tone 40. No discussion is involved upon. Each cycle of the command is its own. Now, we don't do this. We don't find him giving us his hand too fast, so we restrain it with our hand. It has no part in the process. Well, you don't take a hold of his wrist and hold his hand back so that he won't give it to us so fast and so forth. We don't add a lot of oddities. We just say, give me your hand, thank you. Now, that is the student's first introduction to a tone 40 as a process, but by this time he will have passed all of his 5 levels of indoctrination, or he will not run. Give me your hand. Thank you. person who has not passed the five levels indoctrination is not permitted to run the Tone 40 processes. All right, then we get Tone 48C. As number 10, Tone 48C is simply good, clean, clear-cut 8C, and you've already done it in the fifth level Tone 40 on a person. You just do that perfectly on a pre-clear. Of course, more perfectly than you did in training. One expects you to be nervous and ragged in training, but never, never anything less than perfect in other departments. Now we have 11, Tone 40, keep it from going away. And the only thing we add to this is the phrase, keep it from going away. You say, look at that book. Thank you. Walk over to that book. Thank you. Pick up that book. Thank you. Keep it from going away. Thank you. Put that book down in exactly the same place. Now, these auditing commands, by the way, probably could be modified. But as far as I know, they haven't been modified at this time. In the first place, you can have him taking a hold of doors, and you wouldn't have him pick up a door. Do you understand that? So you could say, take hold of that book, not pick up that book, as the only difference there. Okay? And you just have him walk around that way on a Tone 40 basis and take hold of things and keep them from going away. And he tells you when he has kept them from going away. He gives you a head bob, you know, keep it from going away. You know, and he keeps them going away. You tell him this before the session begins. He'll probably forget it, so you have to estimate when he has. But that's up to you. By this time, you should be psychic. Now we have number 12, Tone 40, hold it still. It's running exactly the same as, except instead of keep it from going away, we tell him to hold it still. It's the only difference of auditing command. There's no particular stress or caution on these things, except we should know where we're going, and we're going upstairs toward making him able to make things a little more solid, and that is the next one, 13. Tone 40, make it a little more solid. We walk him around the room. He takes hold of things and makes them a little more solid. He takes hold of them and makes them a little more solid. Do you get the idea there? That's important. And then we get down here to 14, subjective solids. What is a subjective solids? Well, you already had the individual on subjective havingness, so it should be very easy to teach anyone subjective solids at this level. We have him mock something up and make it a little more solid. Now we have done everything necessary to run then and now solids on him. Then and now solids is run in a very ARC fashion. It is not run mum and distant. You've got to sit up close, keep your ears open, acknowledge the pre-clear, keep the ARC running well, be curious as to what he's doing, be interested in what happens. And the auditing commands are, the auditing commands I have run, get a picture and make it a little more solid. Thank you. Look around and make it a little more solid. Now, the auditing commands should be, get a picture and make it a little more solid. Thank you. Not given as two commands. Look at that chair and make it a little more solid. Thank you. Now, why do we take what was formerly four commands and make two commands out of it? That's because the pre-clear is too often put on weight. He goes out of control, I have discovered recently, simply because he has made it a little more solid before you told him to. And this tends to throw him out of control. So it boils down to two commands. And run for you, it should run this way. Get a picture and make it a little more solid. Put a little pause in between the two commands. Not much, but don't make them separate commands. There are two things you've told him to do. Get a picture and make it a little more solid. Good, you say. Fine. He says I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
He nods. All right. You say, look at that chair. Make it a little more solid. He does. You say, get a picture. Make it a little more solid. Good. And back and forth. Supposing he flubbed it utterly. Supposing he just got tangled up in it utterly. Well, he's probably doing something else, and you didn't have his attention under control in the first place, and you didn't have him in session, and a lot of other things happen. But you learn all those things in training. Now, when we get a person running smoothly on then and now solids, we run him rather easily and rather well. He should not run ruggedly. He should not have a hard time getting rid of one picture. He should long since have gotten over this. Long since have gotten over having lots of trouble with his case on the early ones. CCH is run in a fashion whereby you can take a fast pass up the line, do all of these things, flatten each one in turn, until you control his thinkingness. That is to say, you could take these lower control processes and duplication processes, flatten those till you control his thinkingness, flatten all the rest of it up to then and now solids, more or less flatten then and now solids, begin at the beginning and go all over it again. Don't spend 95 hours running then and now solids all by itself, because it's unprofitable. Then and now solids comes up to a flat space, and when it's flat, it's flat. And it flattens at 2 hours, or it flattens at 5 hours, or it flattens at 10 hours. If it even is vaguely flat, and the fellow's more or less extroverted and in present time, skip it and go back to give me your hand, thank you. Now, you can omit on the next pass up the line several of these processes, but you want him back under control. You want his body under control. You want his attention under control. You want to make sure that he can still have things, and then we bring him up there and run once more then and now solids. Because every time we make a new pass at it, such a thing as tone 40 keep it from going away will change a man's bank all over the place. We find we're running a brand new section of track, and we don't want to beat to death childhood in this life forever when we have about 4 billion childhoods to beat to death. You understand? All right. Now, that's how you do these things, more or less, and I'm sure that you would need more data on it than I have just given you, but that's why you have an instructor. Thank you very much for coming down here this afternoon. I enjoyed talking to you.